This week on The Sporkful, I'm giving you your holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, what have you, present. And I'm also giving you a chance to give it to other people. There's a free audiobook from Audible, which you get when you go to audiblepodcast.com/sporkful, and a free 30-day trial of Netflix when you go to netflix.com/sporkful. Free audiobook, free Netflix. Happy holidays.
This is The Sporkful.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you, because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. We are into the swing of the holiday season here, folks, and hey, a quick reminder, if the spirit of giving has swept you off of your feet, maybe you could give it a little bit this holiday season to The Sporkful. Help us keep going and growing. We do accept donations. This is a listener-supported podcast. Go to sporkful.com, click on donate. You can see it, various different levels of support. You can get free goodies, secret episodes, t-shirts, lots of cool stuff. Your help is very much appreciated. Again, sporkful.com and click on donate. Let's go ahead and get into today's topic for mastication and rumination, which is airplane food. I know this time of year, a lot of people are traveling, a lot of people boarding airplanes to fly other places, and therefore a lot of people confronting the dilemma of eating in airports and airplanes, where it is, let's face it, slim pickings. So we're going to reach back into the archives. This is a classic Sporkful episode I want to share with you that we've not aired in quite a long time. I did this with my old friend Mark Garrison, who's now at Marketplace, where we talked about eating in the airport, eating in the airplane, and things you can do to make that experience, if not really delicious, at least a little bit less not delicious. The airport is really one of the most just completely, utterly barren wastelands of food that exist anywhere. I mean, it's worse than the mall food court, because it probably tends to have fewer options than a mall food court.
Yeah.
And there's just something, I don't know, you know how like there's certain smells and tastes that are unique to the airplane, like the recirculated air smell, the sort of the seats, and like there's a certain smell of an airplane. There's something about that that must also get into the airport. Because like even things like draft beer, like I've never gotten a good draft beer at an airport. Like as if the air pressure is different in the airport.
Not just in the sky.
Right, and like yeah. It's usually too carbonated, or you know, they often frost the mugs, which is annoying, but
we hate that, yeah. We had a whole episode about how to properly serve beer.
Exactly. But I just feel like, and on top of that, you just have these places charge ridiculous amounts of money for the food because they know that you're a prisoner in there. And now there's this sort of trend where I've started to see some what appear to be nicer restaurants in airports and with outrageous prices. Now, first of all, I haven't been inside the kitchen of an airport restaurant. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that they don't set you up with a true, full-fledged, professional kitchen when you lease space for your restaurant in the airport. And when places don't get adequate space to set up a proper kitchen, what they end up doing is cooking a lot of food off-site and then reheating it.
Yes.
And that's no disrespect to people who work at the airport. It's a fine job to have, but, you know—
We know that they have limited tools.
Right, and I was stranded at the airport for a few hours over the winter, and there was one restaurant there where it was like a steakhouse. I don't remember what it was called, but it was a steakhouse in LaGuardia. All the entrees were over $30. Now, who in their right mind is going to go and pay $35 or $40 for a steak in an airport? Like, there is just no way that's going to be worth that much. Like, I'll pay $35 for a steak once every year or two to have an awesome steak.
Yeah, if it's good.
Not in an airport. You know, and so I just really want to encourage people. Like, anytime you're going to be going anywhere on an airplane, bring a sandwich from home. Well, eaters, Thanksgiving has come and gone, which means it is officially the Christmas season. And I got a gift for you that I'm giving to you and that you can give to each other. Actually, two gifts. One of them is a free audiobook, which you can get when you sign up for a free trial of Audible, the internet's leading provider of spoken word audio content. Choose your free audiobook from over 150,000 titles when you go to audiblepodcast.com/sporkful. Share that link with your friends. Let them get their free books. You just did your Christmas shopping. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/sporkful. And while you are taken with the spirit of giving, why not also give your friends a free 30-day trial of Netflix? There's thousands of TV shows and movies that you can stream through your TV, your tablet, your phone, your laptop, your PlayStation, your Wii, your whatever. And you can have a free trial of it right now with Netflix. It's awesome. It's a great service. I love it. To get that free trial, go to netflix.com/sporkful. Again, that's netflix.com/sporkful. So there's a pretty proscribed way in which they serve the food and beverages on the airplane. They start off with the drink cart. Then after that cart gets put away, it goes to the food cart. So let's take these in the same order. The beverage cart comes up to you, Mark. Would you like something to drink, sir? How do you respond?
One thing that I always keep in mind is you never know. I mean, you'll get some sense based on the length of the flight, but you never know how often you'll actually see that drink cart. So this may be your only shot at not free. I mean, obviously, they're rolling all these costs into the price of your overpriced ticket. But this may be your only shot at hydration that you don't have to purchase separately. So main thing is be very nice and politely ask for the full can unopened. Because then you can kind of like stash that can away. Because they'll often open it like as a service. Like, hey, we're a good service. We're going to open the can for you. We won't make you do this exertive labor of like popping a can. But then you can't stash it easily. So ask for it unopened. And then ask for something else. It's not coming out of their pocket. They'll give you something else there. And I think the ideal airplane drink is to have a juice, whichever type of juice they have, and then ask them to add like a splash of soda water or club soda, and then you have like a little fizziness to it. And I think fizziness is very important on planes because I do notice that you drink more ginger ale on airplanes than I think at any other point in your life.
That and tomato juice.
Tomato juice too, yeah.
People who would never – it would never dawn on them to ever want tomato juice, let alone ask for it, are always asking for tomato juice on the airplane.
Yeah.
Like they don't even carry tomato juice at 99% of restaurants, and yet they have it on the airplane.
It's always on the plane.
I don't
yeah.
get it. I agree with you, Mark, about I've never asked for the unopened can, but I do ask for the whole can. Unopened is interesting. I mean, you're more aggressive than I am. I'll just ask for the whole can.
It's not aggression. It's
well,
just
not aggressive.
Like, hey,
I mean, you know. And I ask very nicely too, but I feel like they still give me a face when I'm just asking for the whole can, as opposed to just the little glass, which I mean, they give you that little plastic cup with those three giant ice cubes. It's like one sip of soda or whatever.
Yeah.
So you got to get the whole can if you want to have an actual drink. But that's an interesting strategy. The unopened can, I could look into that.
Store it away. Yeah,
I did once get a free beer on a domestic flight. Imagine that.
This is very rare in this day and age. Yeah,
but it was only because I had what the flight attendant described as the worst seat on the airplane, which was the last row, so the seat doesn't go back because you're pressed up against a wall.
Yeah. And right by the bathroom.
By the bathroom, and in the wind, I was on the window, but you're practically in the coat closet.
Yeah.
And I asked for, I ordered a beer expecting to pay for it. And she says, this one's on the house. You got the worst seat on the plane. So I was like, well, you know, if I knew that seat always came with a free beer, I might request it.
I don't know if it always comes with a free beer. I'm just warning you. I got to check seatguru.com or whatever to see if that's a, you know.
But I do like to order an alcoholic beverage on the plane. Not so much beer, but I often want a little caffeine on a plane because maybe I'm going somewhere and I want to be excited for it and I want some artificial excitement. And I do think that even though they've jacked up the prices now, I mean, if you get like a Jack and Coke for $6 and they give you the little bottle of Jack Daniels, which is really like 1.5
it's a little more,
cocktails
I think,
worth
yeah,
of
50
Jack Daniels.
50 milliliters, you get a little bit extra in those mini bottles.
Right. And so $6 for 1.5 Jack and Cokes, plus you always end up with extra Coke. So you're really, for $6, you're getting like 1.5 Jack and Cokes and a third of a can of Coke. That's pretty good for $6. It's actually not a terrible price, and you can mix it on your own. But what's key to do there is to ask for ice on the side because the soda has not usually been chilled.
Yeah.
liquor has not been chilled. And so when you first pour over the ice, you're going to get a lot of ice melting. And you're not going to be able to make a great cocktail. But I basically am constantly adding soda, whiskey, and ice back and forth to keep the ratios of the Jack and Coke just so.
Got it.
So you need extra ice on the side if you're going to work those ratios. Otherwise, it's going to end up being something you don't want.
So the amount of food you get will obviously depend on how far you're going. Some flights are shorter. You may just get a snack. So, Dan, let's say we're on one of these short flights, a couple hours. The only thing you're getting is a drink and a snack at most. Like, what's your thinking on that? How do you strategize?
Well, there's often not a whole lot of choice. But I do think that some of those snacks are nice little treats. I don't think you should be shy about asking for a second bag. Again, politely and nicely. It's not like there's a shortage of bags of four pretzels.
Yeah.
I especially love the bar mix type of a thing where you get those little flat boomerangs in there and they just sort of get a little more variety of flavor. I'm a sucker for nuts. They don't give out nuts as often anymore because they're a little more expensive.
Also, too, like even when you get nuts now, they're rarely honey roasted because I can always remember like being on an airplane and when I was younger, I thought that was a special place where all the nuts are honey roasted.
Right.
Because it was just like this like weird, crazy treat and they were really hard to open. But like once you got inside and had that honey roasted flavor, it was a good experience.
No, honey roasted peanuts were great back in the day. Once in a while, you'll get a choice. Maybe there'll be like bags of chips or pretzels or things.
Granola bar shows up sometimes.
Yeah, the granola bar is a nice one. But I feel like something, again, about the unique air and smells of the airplane makes me want something salty.
I would actually say the same thing. And I know there are certain planes where they will give you like little cookies. I hadn't thought of it that way. But when I look around and see what people are not eating from their meals, often it's the dessert. People tend to leave dessert. I mean, they're often like really lousy desserts that you get. But people do tend to leave them behind more often, it seems like.
So let's talk about longer flights where you're actually getting a quote-unquote meal. You've recently been on a few trans-Pacific flights, Mark. So you've had some recent big airplane meals. What are some of your thoughts here?
One thing I will say is open the main dish immediately and start there because they don't really let anything get that hot on planes because they're worried there'll be turbulence and it'll spill and burn someone. You know, even the coffee never really gets that hot. So open it immediately because if you want it hot, you're not going to have a long window to do that. I would also say the cover because usually this like aluminum cover that they've heated it however they heat it, it's keeping in moisture and could make things inside soggy. So let it breathe. And eat it first. And then in terms of what to choose, you know, sometimes you have a choice. I would say that sauce-based dishes tend to do best in kind of the airplane sealed meal environment. So maybe it's a beef stew, a stir fry, pasta dishes. Those are all pretty safe choices. Chicken or beef, it really depends on how it's done. And I have never, ever chosen fish. And the people that have done it have told me the stories of the regret.
Yeah, I mean, that's I usually would just go vegetarian because it's really going to be gross no matter what.
Some people, like we've talked about this before, some people use that as a strategy to get possibly a better meal because typically when you're buying your ticket, you know, they can say, do you have any dietary restrictions? And people will choose vegetarian because they say, oh, you know, you're more likely to get something that's okay. But I find, though, when you get the vegetarian meal, often it's a uninspired pile of steamed veggies, nothing going on, just like the most minimal thing they can possibly offer you. And so I don't usually go that. Now, I will warn our vegetarian friends, sometimes they run out of the veggie meal, and I have seen people experience the tragedy of that. And, you know, if it's somebody who's not a vegetarian, maybe they'll just take the chicken or the beef. But if it's someone who is a vegetarian and they can't eat the chicken or beef, they often get like a plate of all the leftover dinner rolls. I've seen this happen because basically, like the flight attendants have to assemble a meal that's vegetarian out of all the leftovers of other meals, and it's so that hazard is there. So I, if you're a strict vegetarian, certainly choose a vegetarian meal, but have a backup with you.
That's another reason, as I said, why you should bring a sandwich.
Yes,
you know, do not get on a plane without your own food. You just never know what could go wrong. Another thing you can do when you're getting your ticket is request a kosher meal, even if you're not kosher. I mean, there is a thought out there, and I don't know how true it is, but some people say that you're getting a slightly higher quality of meat if you go with a kosher meal. I still would lean just to go vegetarian.
Yeah.
But another perk of ordering a special meal is that usually they will serve the special meals first.
First, yeah. Speaking of other things that you can do when you're buying your ticket, there was one airline, because you know you have a little drop-down menu, are you, you know, a Mr., a Ms., a Mrs., et cetera. I think it was British Airways. Like, you have those choices, but if you, like, keep scrolling, they have options like Baron and Viscount and, like, Most Rev and Very Rev, General. So I would say next time you fly, try, like, putting yourself down as an Earl or a Duchess, and maybe you get that extra sack of pretzels. I don't know. There are some ways that you can make the, you know, typically bad. I mean, like, it's an easy target, airplane food. It's not usually that good. But there are some things you can do to make it better. I would say salt, pepper, and butter are vital because often the foods are very bland that you get out of these things. And so if you can get extra butter, it's intended obviously for the bread, but I will often put it on the rice or put it into the main dish to give it some actual flavor and heft. Ask for extra pepper because that can like that. You will need this to season and like that. Now, the other thing we talked about, you know, so maybe it's a longer flight and there's been a snack cart, drink cart, and then the, I don't know, the entree cart, the main dish cart, whatever you want to call it. Save your pretzels or nuts from the snack because you may want to crumble them onto your main dish to add a little texture and make it a little different. So if you do that, your seatmates will be jealous and they will wish they had held onto their nuts.
That's an impressive strategy. I'm going to have to try that out. But I have to say that that requires an awful lot of restraint. I mean, you're sitting there in a chair staring at a bag of peanuts or pretzels. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to eat it, even though I just want to eat it. That's tough. I mean, you're asking for a lot of restraint. Maybe ask for two bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And eat one and then save the other.
You've never been shy about asking for the bonus bag. I'll throw one other thing out there is that as far as placement, if your row is full and you're in coach like most normal people are like that, you don't have a lot of room and you're never going to get a really good angle with the food on the tray. So I always say lift each dish from its compartment with one hand and then eat it from very close to your mouth because then you're going to have the maximum like food attack mobility and you won't need to really
stick out your elbows.
Yeah. You want to be able to do that and that's the best situation. Although you will, if there's anything you need to pre-cut, you'll have to do that beforehand.
Another strategy I will use if you're in the whole meal situation is to use the roll. The roll is going to be crappy bread. Other elements of your dish are going to be crappy. But if you combine them, you could make each less crappy. Like, let's say you have a pasta with some junky sauce. Also, oftentimes you'll get like a little wedge of cheese on the side. Slice the bread in half, put a little sauce in from the meal, and then throw in the wedge of cheese, and then you have a nice cheese sandwich with a little bit of a condiment.
That's actually pretty good, which I haven't tried yet.
Yeah, so that's another, you know, so try to be creative with that roll, and just don't be afraid to mix and match everything on your plate. I mean, I don't know that you should be afraid to mix and match at any time in any meal, but especially on the airplane when you're dealing with really crappy food. You got to be even more willing to take risks because you've already taken a risk with putting any of that food in your mouth.
Now, if you have an overnight flight, a red-eye flight, a long-haul flight, you may also be offered breakfast. And I think the breakfast can be pretty rough, but you can mitigate some of the problems if you think closely. If you go for the hot dish, it's almost always going to be like some kind of sci-fi egg-like product made like that. So I normally say skip that. One of the other pitfalls would be having cereal, because obviously if you hit a bump or something like that, the milk is going to splash up like that. I'm actually surprised they offer cereal so often, because it's just not optimized for a plane.
But you could just keep your milk level low.
You can do it, but like if you really hit a bump, it's going to go above. Because again, these are like tiny little bowls like that. There's not a lot of, you know.
I don't know. I feel like it's rare that I have that much issue with a bump that's that violent on a plane.
I don't know. It can
help cause spillage like that.
Maybe. But like, I think the best thing to go with in that situation is yogurt. You can always add cereal to it if you want some crunch. And it's, you know, viscous enough to stay in place. It's not going to be a problem if they could do loop-de-loops and yogurt would be fine. You'd be good. I guess, you know, if they stay inverted for too long.
Then you're going to have an issue.
If you're like trying to like really, you know, hot dog it with Iceman or something like that, you know, don't do it in Top Gun. But the other thing, though, is that fruit can sometimes be a good bet. And muffins, surprisingly, sometimes turn out okay on planes. Because like baked goods and planes, like you don't expect excellence or even decency there. But I've had some pretty good muffins on flights.
Well, that's it for this episode of The Sporkful. I do hope that as you head to the airport and to the airplane for your holiday travels, that you remember this episode and that it makes your traveling a little bit better. Please do remember that this is a listener-supported podcast. We always appreciate any help you can give us here at The Sporkful. Help us keep going and growing. Different donations at different amounts can get you a free t-shirt, can get you secret episodes, or at the very least, it can get you my undying love and respect, which is worth something. So please, if you can, go to sporkful.com and click on donate. Remember, of course, to connect with me and the Sporkful online, facebook.com/sporkful, or on Twitter @TheSporkful, or good old-fashioned interwebs, sporkful.com. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.